The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Keep on, keep on.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you this morning. It is Thursday, May 30th, and we are live and local here in the studio this morning on a kind of a rainy morning, but it's not going to last all day from what I understand. So kind of get that soft rain, good for your gardens and your grass today, and then you get a nice day for the rest of the day. And then tomorrow, I'm hearing, is actually going to be very, very nice. That'll be great for the BCC commencement down at Tanglewood tomorrow. Today on the show, we have Carolyn Valley. She is the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. Always great to speak with Carolyn. And a couple of big events coming up that you want to know about here at the beginning of June from the Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. We're going to talk about that and lots more stuff here on the show. First, let's take a listen to the National Weather Service forecast and find out what we have in store for us over the next 36, 48 hours or so. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy with showers likely this morning, then mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the low to 40s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs in the low to 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
You know, in this time of the year, you also get some nice sleeping weather. when it gets into the 40s at night, you know, you can still, it's still kind of nice and cool. And, you know, you don't have that mugginess yet that you have in the summer. So enjoy it while you can here at the end of May, beginning of June. Once again, welcome to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Glad to have you with us here this morning. And joining me on the other side of the table is Carolyn Valley. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Good, good. It's always nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. And always good to have you on the show. Lots of stuff going on, as usual, at Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. Never stops.
No, it does not.
And lots of stuff. Give us a quick overview before we go into the events that are coming up for people that may not be completely familiar with what Habitat does and specifically what Central Berkshire Habitat is up to. We'll go into detail on some of the bigger things later on in the show, but sort of give us a 30,000 foot overview. What does Habitat for Humanity do?
So a lot of people know Habitat for the homes we build, but we really look at it's the communities that we help build and the people that we help build. So we build homes, we do community engagement, resident engagement, we run financial education, we do free taxes. We have a restore, which keeps a lot of stuff out of the waste stream and makes money to build more homes. And we have a Habitat Build and Repair Corps that trains people to go into the trades. And let me see, is there anything else? We have community navigators. Yeah, and we have community navigators that connect people with resources and then teach them how to navigate those systems so that they can do it in the future for themselves.
Amazing.
Yeah, so we really look at everything as a hand up, not a handout. And how do we, you know, how do we give people the tools necessary to be successful and resilient on their own?
Yeah. How many people do you have at Habitat for Humanity Central Berkshire that are doing all this work?
We have 22. Yeah, people.
And those are your paid people. And then,
paid
of course,
people. Some
a
are
cadre
part-time.
Of volunteers.
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteers. Yeah. I think we figured this year we'll probably end up with about 500 volunteers.
Wow.
But that's actually down from pre-COVID. Pre-COVID, we'd have between 700 and 1,000 every year.
Wow.
So, and we have somebody that's the majority of his job is just logistics for volunteers and being there.
You'd have to.
Yeah. But the thing that I love is all of the staff. Like, the bottom line thing is they love people.
Mm.
So, like, even when it's hard work, they never go around with a mopey face. It's just like, oh, you know, we're going to work with so-and-so today, or we were excited because the Wyndham Group came this week and we were going to have rain, or we thought we were going to have rain. Mm. So we had to redirect a project, and everybody just goes with the flow. Like, it's like, okay, we're flexible. We pivot, we adapt. And I think that's what you need to be in this, you know, time in the world.
Yeah. And it's amazing, you know, to carry on that mission from time to time through things like COVID, high prices for supplies, all kinds of stuff waxing and waning. I would think of volunteers.
Yeah.
That probably all figures in the weather. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
All the different variables.
A day like today, nobody will be coming.
Yeah. Right. Although, there can still be some interior work going on days like today.
Yeah. There's a lot of interior work going on in four of the houses right now. Mm.
So. And just a quick overview. You got how many houses under construction right now?
So we have four in Pittsfield, one in Dalton. We're about to start five more in Pittsfield, and then we're. Mm. Pulling permits, hopefully for July 1, for 20 units in Housatonic. Wow. And I'll tell you, even with that number, I still feel like we're not building enough because the need is so big, and the cost of housing for renters is just, it's just burying people.
Oh, yeah. Not long ago, we did a whole show here on Morning Drive about the housing crisis, and we had the housing secretary of the state here in our studio, and that was a very eye-opening show in a lot of ways, knowing that, you know, calling it a crisis is very valid, what's going on out there right now. And, you know, if you haven't noticed it, it's difficult for people to find housing, forget about affording it, you know, and that's really a different thing right now than it has been that in recent memory, shall we say, right?
Yep. I was at the meeting with the secretary at BCC, and it was great to see the turnout from the Berkshires. Mm. And I think we had the best turnout of any of the sessions that they had. And we were really able to have them understand that the Berkshires is very different than Boston and even Worcester or even Springfield.
Yeah. And the approaches needed here are different
very
from
different.
There.
Very different. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of good ideas, some ideas that, if they look at the unintended consequences, because, you know, like everybody's like, oh, we'll just do ADUs by right. That'll solve all the problems. Mm. But when you consider we have a big second home and we have a big out-of-town ownership of rental units, ADUs are not going to solve that problem. Mm. And we have to think about, like, okay, if we do one, how do we have guardrails to make sure that we don't have unintended consequences that will make it more difficult for people that currently live here?
Right. And then I suppose you also have the short-term rental issue, right, which is kind of creeping in to the Berkshires. I'm sure it's already here, but maybe not as, in some communities, not as much as others. But that does
agree.
Have an impact also, right, on the number of available housing units that people could buy or rent. They're suddenly sort of off the market for that purpose, right?
Yep. That makes it difficult. Yeah. And then, I mean, I can imagine that if I was looking for a home and I kept driving by a house, say, in the wintertime when we don't have as many because of ski season, seeing that house be vacant when I need a home to live in, it's painful.
Yeah.
You know, when they're like, wow, what's up with that? Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, when you purchase a home, have a right to do what you want with it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if there was a little bit of a social conscience about it. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to be able to rent my house out. I was like, oh, great. Like, we have so many people. She goes, well, they have to be out from June to October.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that might make it a little difficult.
Right.
It's like, should we suggest that the family tent during those months? I mean, it's just like, what are the options? Do we have some campers that people could, you know, put in a trailer park or something? So it's a challenging thing.
There's a patchwork of regulations from community to community also in terms of how to handle things like that.
Yeah.
So so many challenges for people right now with housing. And
but at least we're talking about it. And that's what makes, like, you don't ever solve a problem if you're not coming together and talking about it and figuring out what's something we can do. We might not be able to solve the whole problem, but maybe we can make some steps that go towards it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're involved in a lot of these community discussions and convenings, is because we want the people that are experiencing the problem firsthand as part of the solution rather than people that really haven't experienced it coming up with solutions, because usually we, you know, all intentions are good, but sometimes we just miss the mark when we don't bring the people that are closest to the problem to the table to say, right, you know, what would be better.
Yeah, the top-down approach doesn't always work, yeah, right? You need to know what's happening at the ground level.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's sort of what we were saying to Boston. It's like, let, you know, we're asking it in a government setting and just saying, let the Berkshires come up with our solutions and then just let us implement them. And oh, by the way, could you give us the money to do it?
Right, exactly. Trust us, we know what we're doing, yeah, but we're going to need that funding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And actually, that reminds me of the way that COVID was approached in a lot of ways, because the Eastern Mass had a different approach and you know, somewhat different outcomes when it came to handling, especially the onset, the beginning of COVID and what to do. And the Berkshires, I think, in a lot of ways, pulled together as an area, and a lot of different organizations came together and said, no, we can handle this. We can.
Yeah.
And I think we did.
Yeah.
You know, we did in a lot of ways. So that is sometimes the approach necessary in the Berkshires.
Yeah. I think we're a beautiful area and a unique area. And I think we collaborate better than any other part of the state.
Yep, and I hear that echoed from many guests that come on the show and say that exact same thing, and I think there is some real truth to it.
Yeah.
So along those lines, there is an event you've got coming up on June 3rd.
Yes.
And that is a final West Side Community Zoning Workshop. So I am unfamiliar with this. Tell me how we led up to the final one. there must have been some other ones in there.
Yep.
And what is the approach? What's going on with this?
So the Community Development Department of the City of Pittsfield really wanted to look at zoning, and they were looking at it from a neighborhood focused.
Mm-hmm.
So what they had asked Habitat to do is bring people together to start to first be educated about zoning, and then second, draw out what would they love to see in their community.
Mm.
And the first one was really so they're working with Innis Consulting and another consulting group that came in, and they just really explained what zoning can do, what it can't do, and that so much of the West Side is prior to zoning.
Hmm.
So like many of the houses that exist there right now, if they were to burn down, would not be able to be rebuilt.
Really?
Right, because they don't comply with current zoning.
Oh, wow.
So
And what kinds of zoning are there right now that would prevent that from happening? Because you would think that it would just be a residential, mainly residential zoning area, but does it have to do with how close the houses are together,
yes,
and offsets to the street and things like that?
It's the type of homes. It's the closeness to each other. It's the setbacks.
Hmm.
It's how much yard you have on each side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's like a lot of different things. And
so it's an old part of town, essentially.
It's an older part of town.
Yeah.
And I think that they want to use this as sort of the test place to look at those rules there, because there are many parts of our town that are just like that. Like the Morningside is another good example.
Sure.
So what they wanted to do is take a defined area, look at all of the rules that apply to that, but then also like have residents imagine, if you could build the community that you would like to have, what would you want to have there? And it was great because Spanish people came, people from Africa came, a lot of people came, and we used building blocks we had our own little parcel, and we determined how much grass we would have, and we determined what kind of home we would have, and then we put it on an imaginary street that indicated how would you want that one street to look like. And it was great to see how the different cultures built on each other, and how, like, the African community likes to have a lot of family space behind their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like have like a four family, for example, they would have a four family and they would have in the back an area to grow vegetables and stuff.
Mm.
But they would have a gathering space where all people would come together to gather. Well, with the Spanish community in their home countries, they have little kiosks next to their home so that they can sell things.
Okay.
Many, many people wanted to be able to have like a little bakery in their house or a small business. Could they have a little shed that they could have their business supplies in?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of folks were single head of household and they work full time, but they're not making it on just their salaries or their wages. So they're like, well, I could have a little business and I could make up that difference and I could still be with my children. So we learned a lot about how people currently are living and then dreamed a little bit about what it could look like in the future. And they had an idea of like this one strip, a part of Columbus Avenue that could be like a test incubator for businesses or like if you, you know, where there could be a commercial kitchen where you could cook and sell legally out of there. So everybody that wants to have a little home kitchen wouldn't have to have that expense. And, you know, just they were like brainstorming a lot of desire to have more like neighborhood schooling. There was a lot of that that was going on. But the consultants took all of that information and then came back and they will propose, and they're going to give the feedback to the people that come on February 3rd. This is what they're going to propose to the city. And what they're hoping is that there's enough people there that actually will be able to say, you know, you don't quite got it right, or yeah, spot on, this is exactly what we're looking for, so that what they're presenting to the city is what people want. Because
and how much of the things that people have sort of asked for in some of these meetings are currently permitted? Like, could you do these things now based on the current zoning that's there, or would that take some sort of a radical change?
It, well, some of it would require special zoning permits, and even just how they, well, there was always the question about what would happen with their taxes. People ask that a lot, like, well, if I had a little business in my house, how much, what's the impact on my taxes?
Good question.
I mean, a lot of times I think we forget that people who live in community don't, they have really good ideas and they're really smart. So they were going right at the numbers. Like, what would it do to my property value? What, you know, like, could I buy a property like this and change it to do this? And even just how much solar could they get on their roofs because people are plagued with the electric rates. So it was really, really, I think, good for people to come together and have that conversation. And I've seen some very, very preliminary drafts, and they really, I think, are trying to make what they wanted as available as possible. But you don't want to turn every resident street into a mixture of commercial, you know.
So that's sort of more of the grand plan of, of the whole area, is to say, this area here will be mixed residential and business. And then as you move away from that central area, street or whatever, that it becomes more residential, maybe more green. And I think of the West Side as a place that's already sort of undergoing a lot of change when it comes to those. And certainly Habitat for Humanity is right. You know, got your finger on the pulse of that, because there have been many properties that have been condemned and taken down. And and it's some of those properties that you're able to go back in and say, OK, that's an opportunity for us to either build, or the city looks at it and says, well, let's take, you know, this whole area here and make that a greenway along the Housatonic River. That's been, you know, part of the priority of parts of the West Side too, right?
Yes. And we just, last week, the West Side Legends had the annual block party there. And first of all, we had the best weather day I think you could possibly ask for.
Nice.
And there were so many vendors and food trucks and bands and music and, you know, just people getting together that hadn't seen each other for so long. And you just felt this incredible community spirit. And people, we had boards up there, were saying, tell us what you think about this. And then also, the city is responding to the needs in the community about having a splash pad in Durant Park. Now, we're not going to get it till probably 2026, but we were also able to talk about what are the short-term things that we're doing in order to hold us over till then. But then we're asking, like, the city had some specific ideas that they had, and we were getting feedback. So we had comment cards that people could write stuff down, and, like, they picked a couple of features. But the most thing they said is, thank you so much, because we need this here. You know, we have to walk so far for our kids to get to go to a splash pad. And you can, you can't stay as long because you got to walk back. And, you know, and they were
from
just
the West Side, the two that are there are quite a trip, aren't they?
Clap and Common.
The Common,
So, you know, and moms that had multiple kids were like, you have no idea what this is going to mean in our summer lives to be able to have this water here.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, we have a playground department that the city does, but it's hot in the summer and they don't have a water source. Actually, Habitat provides the water for a llama corn. It sprays water in the summertime. And but the city called up and said, hey, in the short term, do you think we could run a hose off of your property to do that? And I was like, yeah, what are we going to put in as a feature? And Berkshire Regional Planning said, well, we'll buy a llama corn and, you know, some sprinklers so that the kids could have it.
That's great.
And I just love that that's what we do in community. You see you see something and then you talk about it and then you come up with a solution. The solutions don't always happen like in a minute and a half, but you can have interim solutions that really give us the time. I mean, paying for a splash pad, as you remember from Clap Park that the Rotary did, that was a very big project.
Right.
And all of those things take time, and they take time to design and make sure you're going to get it right, because you don't want to do it, then have people unhappy, and then have to redo it and redo it and redo it. So I'm really excited about that.
And I think the Parks Department and the Parks Commission have done a really nice job on a lot of those. And they do take a good amount of thought, right? And a lot of planning. So as much as you'd like to have it for this summer, it really needs to be done right and and thought out, through.
And the thing that I love about over the, well, I'm going to say even before probably COVID, but definitely it started with Mayor Tyer's reign, I guess, her administration, she really did value community input and resident input. And I think that you saw that how ARPA was money was distributed.
Right.
You saw that in a lot of ways. And that has continued on with Mayor Marchetti's, which I think is the right way. And the communities that take that approach have long-term outcomes that are much better than sort of the we think we know best kind of communities. So I'm very excited that we can be a small part in that. And what I love to see is when something the residents have advocated for actually start to happen. They are so excited. They feel like they have had a personal win. When the new sidewalks went in, they've been talking about the sidewalks, I think, since I got here in 2007, and I think the first CDBG meeting that we were talking about sidewalks was in 2008, and we've been talking about the sidewalks over in the West Side this whole time. And
this was installing new sidewalks or repairing existing, or both?
Both. And when, I think it was last block party, one of the people that had been a really great advocate about it walked from her house to the park on a new sidewalk. And she said, I just want people to know I got that sidewalk. Because, you know, and that's what you want,
right?
You want people to own their neighborhood in a positive way and be able to say, I had an impact in that, because that leaves a legacy for their families. And it also gives them the power to think about what's the next big thing I could possibly do.
Yeah, if I can do this.
Yeah, like I got sidewalks, man.
I know some other things we need to do.
That's exactly
here.
Right. Yeah. And people bring them forth all the time.
Right. We're speaking with Carolyn Valley. She's the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And we're talking about the final West Side Community Zoning Workshop. So let's give a plug for that again. That's happening on June 3rd.
Right? Yep, 6 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's at Conti School. There'll be refreshments and there'll be childcare, and we'll also have interpreters there. So please
come out.
That's
a Friday, right?
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. My bad. So you're asking for pre-registration for this, right?
If they could, that gives us an idea how much childcare and how much food.
They
can just call the office at 442-3181 extension 0, and somebody just take a head count, or you can even send something to our website, which is info@berkshirehabitat.org.
So then all the input that you've already gathered, basically this is coming all together, and the folks who are going to be, you know, sort of analyzing this, right, taking it away, this is going to be sent to them, and you're going to have
They'll be here.
Because
they've gotten, like, even the last session we had last week, we recorded it. We sent it off to them. We sent off all the blocks. They met with other groups like Black Shares and different folks, and they're putting all of this together into a report with a lot of visuals and stuff, and that's where they're going to be showing it that night. So the people that come that night will be the first ones that get to see
Oh, great.
the you know, what they're proposing and give them feedback on that. Mm-hmm. So, and
so
that's
be
the
models
important thing.
Or drawings or things like that.
Renderings and different things. So I think it's going to be important that people show up because, A, we want to make sure that they heard correctly, right? Like Habitat always uses a feedback loop, which is like you ask the question, you tell them what you think you heard, they tell you what you really should have heard, and then you fix it. Yeah. And then, you know, kind of keep doing the cycle. So that's what this consulting group is using as well, so that this will be the first opportunity for people to see, like, all the ideas that went into it, what's the outcomes of it. And then also, you know, make sure that if there's something that's exciting to them, really highlight that. If there's something that you're not quite sure about, make sure you bring that up too.
And generally speaking, we think of the west side as kind of a large area, but what are the boundaries of what we're talking about here?
Well, the west side actually is from West Street all the way over to Lakeway Drive in the one area, and then Anota Street, one side of Anota Street, and then Center Street.
So, not, what would you call it, not west of Anota Street? Or up into that area toward Taconic High School still?
That's a different,
Different
section.
Area. Okay.
But if you talk to people in the West Side and you ask 10 people what the boundaries of the West Side are, you will get 12 different answers.
I'm sure. Yeah.
My favorite one is they were like, the West Side is as far as my mom would ever let me go. And I was like, well, how far was that? And they would let them go to Durant Park. They lived on Robbins. So to them, that was their was their neighborhood.
Yep.
So
makes sense.
Yeah.
And So that is the area that we're talking about for purposes of the. Now, will there be specific rezoning that happens as a direct result of this? Is that the ultimate goal? Is to change some of what's there?
I think that is the case. Yeah. Yes. So what they'll do is redefine, and I think some of the things that they're talking about doing is like having continuity in the names. Like there's like primary streets, secondary streets, main corridors. Mm. Those are the three that I can think of, and making those consistent everywhere. Because you know how like they will do like the downtown redistricting and then the overlay areas and all of that. What they're trying to do is make it so that there's not so much of those overlay areas as consistency in language and definition of what can go where. So that's part of what they're trying to do.
Okay.
And then,
so the main corridors you would think of as probably Anota Street, Linden Street, right?
Columbus
Ave.
Yeah. So, and then there's been discussion about how would we call a primary street? And because many of the streets go in many different ways. That has to do with it. And also, like, what you'll be able to have on your property, you know, whether or not you could put a wraparound porch. Because in some cases, you would be violating the setbacks if you put a little porch on it, right?
Even though historically, that probably would have been what a lot of those houses would have had attached to them from the beginning would be those wraparound porches.
Yeah. So a lot of that will get clarified and just make it easier for people to be able to do a little bit more. One of the things that I was really impressed with is that when people were building out their parcels, many were building it so that there would be three homes on their parcel, so that they were thinking about, okay, here's my house, here's my sister's house, here's my brother's house, and, you know, and here's where we're going to keep the tool. I mean, there was a lot of detail. Plants, the whole thing. It was great.
Yeah.
So they were thinking about how they wanted to live in community, even within their own families. So they were saying, like, we can be closer together. We don't want to be like all in the same building, but we could be closer together.
Right. And so, how do you think that this will have an effect on sort of home ownership and the sort of balance between that and rental properties in the area?
Well, I think that it'll give us a lot of opportunities to maybe rethink how we do some of the home ownership. Like we're working with the city on a parcel of land. And right now the way that, and it's a combination of building code and the sprinkler systems, and the property, if I'm hoping that a particular person will give us a sliver of land that we would need, because we could design a little community within the community that could hold three unit property. So it would be six within this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't have to be all in a row like this, right? They could have one in the back, one like this, with that one facing forward. And then it also would affect, like, what's your parking requirement? That's part of zoning also.
Sure.
So with some of the changes that they're proposing, that project would be able to increase the number of units that we could build on that parcel. So that would be great for community because there's not a lot of opportunities of new construction. Mm-hmm. And it costs a lot to do rehabs.
Right.
You know, so that makes it challenging for folks. But it also could look at, you know, like many people that come from other countries would like to purchase a multi-unit, have a store on the first mm-hmm. floor, and then have a rental, and then they live there.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit different than our traditional duplex model, but still something that would be good in a neighborhood.
Yeah, and something historically that has also been a part of life in that area.
Yeah, because there used to be a bakery, a fishmonger,
exactly.
everything.
Right.
And you walk
with
by those buildings
upstairs.
Now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that cuts down on your housing costs too.
Right.
Right. When you think about starting a business, there's always the rental cost and everything. So that would be an opportunity. And we also talked about like what would be next, right? After these changes, what will be the next thing that has to happen? And it'll be about educating people about what the changes are and what you can do and what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because for the most part, people spent a lot of time dreaming about what they would like. And then after the meeting, we started getting emails saying, hey, we never talked about what we don't want. We do not want people to leave garbage outside. We
and
don't
that's
want
another
junk
whole
cars.
Conversation,
exactly.
Right? Carolyn Valley is our guest here this morning on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM. Believe it or not, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take that quick break that we always do. Thank our underwriters and give you our station ID and a couple other things. So stick around. We've got part two of our conversation with Carolyn Valley from Habitat for Humanity. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Oh, yes! 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Deposit a portion of your everyday paycheck directly into your savings account. Set it and forget it and watch your money grow.
When shopping, grab a basket instead of a cart to avoid impulse buys. Or even better, write a shopping list and stick to it.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
All aboard!
Do you like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Oh, yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is gonna be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you again for the second half of our show. It's Thursday, May 30th, and you're waking up to kind of a wet and gray morning, but it is going to clear up a little bit, and you'll have a nice day, very nice day tomorrow from what I'm understanding. We have Carolyn Valley. She's the CEO of Central Berkshire Habitat for Humanity on the show this morning, and we've been talking about the West Side and zoning. We've got one more event to talk to her about here in the second half that's happening on Saturday, June 8th. So we'll talk all about that in just a moment. First, let's again go to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and find out what's in store for us. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy with showers likely this morning, then mostly sunny with a slight chance of showers this afternoon. Highs in the upper 60s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the lower 40s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And I always get thinking about those top 10 days of the summer. And when I hear 70 and sunny coming up tomorrow on Friday, that I can picture the blue sky and the clear, calm, you know, and the warm but not humid. And exactly. So I think that's the kind of day we're going to have tomorrow. That'll be exciting. Yeah. Carolyn Valley, thanks again for being here this morning.
Great talking
with you. And we were just talking about the final West Side Community Zoning Workshop again one more time for people. That's going to be on June 3rd. It's a Monday, not a Friday.
Yep. And it's at Conte Community School from 6 to 8. Call our office 442-3181 extension 0 to let us know you're coming, especially if you need childcare, because we will have childcare, we'll have translation, and we, of course, will have food.
We got to have food. And so there's something else going on, as always. You have a lot of balls in the air. And this one is the Hello Spring Francis Avenue Overlook imagining. What would you call it?
I would call it a continuation of an imagining.
Yeah.
Because probably 3 or 4 years ago, we were having Zoom meetings, what we used to call Working Cities Wednesdays, but they ended up having to be Zoom because of COVID.
Right.
And what residents kept talking about is the stairwell that goes down from Francis Avenue down to College Way, and then you go down, cross over by the Salvation Army, then you have to walk up to the Big Y or CVS. The stairs almost always had overgrowth, not much lighting, and then the stairs themselves are not in super great shape. And then
it was probably a product of urban renewal
from
the 50s or 60s.
Exactly.
I guess some residents also remember a time when there was a stairway that took people from that Francis Avenue area down to Union Station, to the train station, right? And I guess that must
have been. And they used to have a skywalk.
Oh, wow. So that must have all been dismantled during urban renewal. and we have what we have now.
Yeah. And so what it does for people that don't have transportation is it makes it very difficult for them to bring their groceries up. And it's quite a hike to do that. And imagine if you're a little bit older, because we have a lot of elderly people that live in the West Side, carrying your groceries, you're coming up those stairs, you get to the top of the stairs, there's an area. So it would be great to be able to sit down, right? So
I would imagine it's probably not lit very well either.
No, it's not at all. But when you actually go there and you look out, it is one of the most spectacular views, especially in the fall, of the Berkshires.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the whole city and you see the backdrop of the mountains. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it was so overgrown that nobody could even, you know, put your groceries down.
Whose property is it?
It belongs to Pittsfield Housing Authority.
Okay.
So this kept coming up as an identified issue within the community that they really wanted to be worked on. So we reached out to Pittsfield Housing Authority, Berkshire Regional Planning, and we said, you know, is there something we can do about this? So we got permission from Pittsfield Housing Authority to go and start mowing it.
Okay.
So we did that. I don't believe that Pittsfield Housing Authority owns the stairway. There's still a question as to who owns the stairway.
That's interesting.
But we were able to put a mosaic on the bottom of the stairway of like a beautiful angel. A local artist did that. And then, of course, Pops Peterson's work is on the other wall. So it's actually a very...
That's the once ruby.
The ruby one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's some other art down there, too. So I can imagine when this is all done, what a great, great spot this is going to be. But as we started talking to people about what they wanted there, first it's like, well, if we, you know, if we, even if we could just get the growth cut back, there's a lot of that knotweed there that's invasive species, and the stairwell a little bit better, and maybe more lighting and some benches. And then the Berkshire Regional Planning was doing a stormwater study. And as it turned out, like almost every single time we were up at this property, in the winter it was like an ice rink. And then in the summer it was like puddles and mosquito heaven,
oh,
you
boy.
Know. So I was like, that sounds like a stormwater thing. So I, Courtney came up and she goes, yeah, this is a stormwater thing. So we started thinking about, well, what would it be if we could put something on the top? And CPA granted us a landscape engineer or design architect to be able to work with that. And then we were able to leverage that to get an MVP grant that is looking at the stairwell. And then the city is also concerned about the safety of that area. So they're looking at safety redesign for that. So all of a sudden, we have, you know, a pretty large group of folks that are saying, we're going to work together with the residents' input into fixing this. So one of this is, we've been having a number of meetings. We have focus groups. We've had a lot of stuff. We've had surveys, tax, everything about what would you like to see there. And what will happen on that day is we thought it would be great to host a fun event there, hot dogs, hamburgers, KJ Nosh is going to donate some cookies and lemonade, and we're going to have bubbles and stuff for the kids. And Francis Avenue near the parkway or that park is going to be closed that day.
Okay.
And the College Way, which is right by where Ruby is, right? That's going to be closed that day.
Okay.
So the kids are going to be able to do chalk art and write on the ground what they would imagine this could look like.
Yeah.
Right? And then get more feedback that the architects can build into the bigger plan. And then also, how will that all fit into this whole safety thought that the city has about the roadway?
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of moving parts.
It's a lot of moving parts and a lot of different funding sources. And we're able to say, like, okay, the money that the CPA gave and the work that, you know, people are donating into the project is the match leverage that you needed to get the other grant. And then this one grant will now, that one's to study the problem and to come up with a design thing in conjunction with what the city's doing. And then there'll be an implementation plan. But people came together, and Tessa Kelly, who's the architect of it, brought her urban models of what it used to look like back in the 50s, what it could possibly look like in the future. And then people came together and interacted with that. And a lot of the folks that had lived in the neighborhood back in the day were like, well, you know, we used to have a sky bridge over the thing, and we used to do this, and we used to do that. And they're like, and if you have a sky bridge, you make sure it's covered, because we used to throw little small rocks on the thing. You know, and, so, and it was like, you know, just great reminiscence for them. And then they also talked about how difficult it is for them just to go get their groceries.
Well, that's the key, right, is that
and,
you have a neighborhood right
there. And being able to
go
to CVS, because there's no, like, local market right there
yet. And that is an issue in lots of neighborhoods and areas, not necessarily in Pittsfield, but there are other places that have food deserts, for example.
Right.
And I think some discussions about the Morningside area talked about that, how far it is for people in that area to get fresh food.
Yeah.
Right. And so I know we're talking about the West Side and that, but, you know, having that connection to the Big Y, which is right there, but you have this sort of barrier in between.
And it's really difficult to get there.
Yeah.
And this is all a part of the climate change work that's being done, too, because we see that these things are not going to get better unless we take a sustainable look at the climate and climate justice in mm-hmm. that area. And I'll say we some folks from the Bar Association had come to walk the area with us, with Berkshire Regional Planning and a bunch of other mm-hmm. folks. And we had said, well, let's travel that way together. Mm. Let's walk down there and walk up to the big way.
And that whole area isn't necessarily a very walkable area like it used to be, right? And again, pre-urban renewal, where it was walkable, and then suddenly it was all transformed for the use by cars.
Yes.
And it made it much more dangerous for pedestrians and bikers and everyone else.
Yeah, because when you come down to the bottom of the stairs, there's one bush that you can't even see if there's a car coming. Mm. And the cars, because it was intended to be a bypass, come very fast. I mean, when we were, I was sort of at the back of the line shepherding our folks, and somebody was at the front, and we were trying to get them to go down, and then you have to do that crosswalk by mm-hmm. the Salvation Army.
Right.
And, I mean, I have seen many a time that people just blow through that crosswalk, and I thought, oh, please, God, don't let anybody from Boston get run over while we're here. And I was very proud of our Pittsfield residents. They all stopped in the crosswalk when the entourage was going through. I have to come back a little bit early, and nobody stopped for me, and I had a red coat on, people. So you could have stopped and made it look like it was always safe in that crosswalk. But it was a good example of what exactly people have to go through.
Yeah.
And
it feeds into that conversation about the West Street interchange, too, which I know we've talked to Commissioner Morales about mm-hmm. that here on this show, and how, you know, that I know it's a little further down from what we're talking about with the Francis Ave and the Overlook, but it is sort of all tied together in that whole area and how people need to use that area to do their daily, get their daily lives.
And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are on scooters and, you know, the little motorized wheelchairs and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely something that causes a lot of concern about safety in that area. And it does take a long time. It takes like 18 minutes if you're a pretty mobile person mm-hmm. to walk to the Big Y from that staircase, which is a lot.
Yeah, especially if you're carrying bags of groceries.
Yeah. And, you know, I was surprised that we didn't see any shopping carts left at the bottom of the staircase. So I thought that was interesting. But this is another opportunity where residents identified the problem. They had some ideas of what would be a solution. And now they're going to come together to be on the land that they are imagining it. Because, like, you know, we were getting some amazing ideas of what could happen there. And I was talking to one woman and I said, have you been there in a while? And she goes, not since I was a little kid. And I said, so you don't really remember how much space we're talking about? And she said, no, not exactly. And I said, okay, so it's, and I drew it on a piece of paper. And she goes, well, my idea's not going to fit on that size thing. And I said, yes, that's right. I said, so that's why we want you physically on the land.
Yeah.
A, you'll get to see the view. And B, you'll have an opportunity to really think about what can go in that kind of space.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a great time. And the weather should be good. I'm praying that the weather's good.
That would be nice.
That would be nice. And we'll have bubbles and stuff for the kids and just temporary tattoos. And we're waiting to hear back. The fire department was going to come with their dog and then let kids try on boots. And the fire department has a thing where they can do smoke detectors and carbon detectors, and they can install them for you, and it's free. So we wanted to make sure we got the word out about that, because a lot of times people don't change out their smoke detectors or even know if they have a carbon monoxide detector, and those are important when you have any gas in your house. So, you know, getting the word out for the fire department that that's available would be great, and we're hoping that Copsicle will be able to come that day. Mm. It's always by what's going on. But it'll be a nice time.
Yeah, so this is a fun event.
It's fun. It'll be informative. They can look at some of the other thoughts. You know, like there are some preliminary, just I'm going to say, like imaginings of what could be on the hillside. So it's like this is something that could possibly happen on the hillside and then get interaction with that. And there's a consultant about ADA because you really can't use that area at all if you have any mobility issues. So we wanted to make sure that anything that we think of isn't making it accessible for all. So it's been a great project, and I've loved the teamwork. I mean, we've been meeting every other week for a long time. And, you know, you start to get to know people not just as the role that they play in their organization. And, you know, it's like, oh, great, kids are doing well. Yeah.
Right.
And you just feel like, okay, together we can get this done. Mm-hmm. You know, because all of us are... We know that this is not a sprint. It's a long journey.
Yeah. But like many of these projects are, right?
Exactly.
You have to have the kernel of the idea.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the issue has been brought up and you say, well, what if, you know, what can we do with that? And you start looking at pictures like you have on the flyer here and you say, wow, that is just a gem. You know, how can you not do something to improve that, to make that accessible and to make that something that people can share and really be proud of.
Yeah, so I'm really excited
from
about
there
it.
To when it's finished, that's the journey, right?
Yeah, and I think that we can have some interim steps. Once they kind of have come up with what they want to do, we're going to put some temporary benches in because, you know, I happened to be there one day when an elderly woman was dragging bags up that staircase and she was huffing and puffing and just exhausted, and I went over to help her, and you know, I was saying, you know, what would be better for you? Mm. And she said, like, if I just could sit down after I've done those stairs. And I thought, well, that's something we can do.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder, for accessibility purposes, if you know, what you could do with the stairs, if the stairs could be replaced with something else. Something that's being considered?
There are some very innovative ideas about how that area, again, determining on whether or not they close College Way. Mm. There's some of the imaginings are where from the park you would kind of go like this, and it would be like a series of ramps,
right?
So that would make it easy with shopping carts and strollers and things. But again, it's the ideation that we want to make sure everybody's ideas are put in there and what do they want. It was funny because there was comments on the comment cards that were on the board. Just no concrete benches. We don't like concrete benches. Concrete benches are hard.
I can understand that.
Yeah, and I was like, yes, that is true. Yeah. All of those things are hard.
Things come and go. Sometimes they're in vogue, and it's the design and, you know, of the day.
Yeah.
But then I think I agree with that. I'm not a big fan of concrete benches. It makes things feel hard and feel cold.
Yeah, so we were joking because sometimes we get people who will donate. Not that we like it when people do this, but sometimes they'll donate, like, the seat cushions, you know, from dining room chairs. I was like, what if, just in the short term for the summer, if we brought a bunch of those over and put them in a basket so that when people have to sit on the concrete, they have a little cushion.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's a doable thing.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I could solve one tiny little problem. So, but it's really exciting. And the thing that...
And remind people again, it's going to be on Saturday, June 8th, right?
Yes, from 2 to 5. Mm-hmm. And there'll be free food, fun activities, and we really want to see a lot of people there, and it'll be an exciting time.
And this is at the Francis Avenue Overlook near the stairwell to Big Y. And
correct.
So if people are looking to drive there and park there, how do they do that to sort of be a part of it?
So we have a shuttle service that is going to go from TD Bank parking lot to we'll drop you off, and then they'll also be parking at Habitat, which is at 314 Columbus Avenue, and our shuttle will pick you up there.
Okay.
And
so it's best not to try and park in that area.
I wouldn't try to park there at all. Mm-hmm. I would just go to either of those two places.
Yep.
I think on the flyer it has the phone number to call for your pickup, and that'll be a continuous loop. We'll keep picking people up.
Right.
And then we're also encouraging people. I'm going to lead a walk from the Big Y to how you would get there taking the stairs.
Okay.
Because I think that will also open up people's imaginations.
I would imagine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll meet there at about 1:45 and do that walk up. I'll be there at 1:30. Mm. But we'll do that walk together, and I'll have a big leader sign, and you know, I'll lead folks across, and I'll probably have a safety vest. But it'll be a great opportunity for people to, like, walk in another person's shoes, because I find that we can imagine it, but once we've done it ourselves, we can feel it in a different way.
Yeah.
And that's what we really want to see, is like, let's see what this could really be in the future. So I'm really excited about the community development work that we're doing right now.
Yeah. So that's again on Saturday, June 8th, 2 to 5 p.m. With a quick little tour up the stairway at maybe 1:45 with Carolyn as your leader. And also you have free hamburgers and hot dogs that day. There's going to be a raffle you can enter to win some nice prizes, right? Yep.
A CVS card, a Big Y card, and a Ring doorbell with a lifetime subscription.
Wow, that's great.
So, yeah, some really good prizes.
Sounds like a fun event. I think everyone should come out and take a walk, and hopefully you get a good day for it. And looking at those pictures, that's the kind of day.
Yeah.
The day that's in those pictures, that's what you want.
That's what we want. Yeah. That's what we want.
So, Carolyn Valley, in the last few minutes we've got in the show, because it always goes by really, really fast, tell us about some of the other projects that Habitat for Humanity has going on right now. You said you have 5 active in construction, right?
Yep.
And another 5 sort of in the wings, and then you've got another big project in Housatonic. So give us a quick overview on those.
So the properties are on Anota Street in Robbins. They're 2-unit condos that are 3 bedrooms with first floor bedroom in each, because we try to build for aging in place.
And were these rehabs or were they
brand new build? High energy. We just were probably a week out from completing a ranch in Gulf Road in Dalton that hit a tier 2 energy rating, which is the best energy rating you can get. So we're super proud of that, that we were able to do that. And we would not have gotten off to such a great start with that project if it not been for Allegrone Construction and Unistress helped out with that project.
Nice.
So that made it sort of affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be having open lottery for that very soon.
Okay.
And then we'll be doing the lottery for the other properties. So if you are interested in home ownership, now's a good time to get your application in, and you can call the office and we can make an appointment and kind of walk you through that process pretty easily.
I would think the demand would be very high.
Yeah.
A lot of people interested in home ownership.
We just had finished our financial education, this series of the financial education, and I think there's 9 families that came out of that for a variety of things. Some of them are from South County, so they definitely want to go into the Housatonic Project. We already had some folks that want to go into the Housatonic Project. So we kind of are looking at, like, where do you live and work? What is, plus affordability is different in each community. So that's why it's a little specialized. We like to sit down and talk to people about what they hope is going to be their dreams. And then at the Restore, we have a super fun event on June 23rd. We had been blessed with donated fabric from Ann Selke. So this is all super, super high-end fabric. And we have somebody that volunteers at Habitat that knows how to do upholstery.
Ah.
So she's going to be doing some upholstery demonstrations. And if you've been to the Restore, we have 1 million chairs. We have 1 million different things that could be upholstered. So they're going to have a special sales price on fabric. So you can buy an item, buy the fabric, and then we're going to encourage you to take before and after pictures. And we're probably going to run some kind of a contest later in the fall, because I know these projects take a little bit of time to complete, where we can highlight on our website and on Facebook their projects. So it'll be a fun event that day as well.
So much better for the environment too. I think about an article I read recently about how sort of the cheap furniture is sort of filling up landfills and things like that, where people are just going, buying, you know, having it for a couple of years and just discarding and going with something else. And this is a real chance for someone to reuse and bring in, you know, real style from previous generations.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that right now. We had some woman that came specifically looking for 6 mismatched chairs of the same era. And I was like, so how are you going to do it? But she had a complete vision of how she was going to do it.
Okay.
And then another woman bought, is opening an Airbnb. I think she also lives there, but she's doing it in like a gingerbread style. So she came and bought a humongous amount of china cabinets, and she's repurposing those into something. So we went over to film and see how they were doing. And I just love the creativity of people that come to the Restore, and that's open Wednesday through Sunday from 9 to 5.
That's great. Well, Carolyn Valley, thank you so much for being here today.
Happy to be here.
And in the last minute or so that we've got, tell people how they can get a hold of you to find out about any of the things that we talked about today, to get involved with the projects or to become a volunteer with Habitat for Humanity Central Berkshire, any of those things. How do they get a hold of you?
So our main phone line is 442-3181. If you're interested in home ownership, you're going to hit extension 7. Hmm. If you want to volunteer, you're going to hit extension 8. If you need community resources, you're going to hit extension 0. And you can also send us an email on our website, which is berkshirehabitat.org, or to our information line, which is info, at berkshirehabitat.org.
That's great. We didn't even get into community navigators. We'll do that
yes,
in the next time.
Yes, we'll do that another time. I'll bring a couple of them.
Oh, that would be great. Let's
yeah.
do that. Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
All right. Again, thanks for being here, and wonderful to have you on the show. And folks, we will be back again tomorrow morning with another episode of Morning Drive. Please stick with us, and thanks for listening to WTBR-FM. We'll be back again tomorrow. Take care. Mm-hmm.